Just want to share a few little thoughts tonight that I feel like the Lord has given us to share. I wanted to start with the last part of 1 Peter 3 and 4. And I was thinking about some of the things that are important to God, and what a blessing it is when the Lord helps us to understand His ways just a little bit better. I was thinking about this scripture here says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." I wanted to think a little bit tonight about a meek and quiet spirit, and how that, you know, some things are valuable. And we know some things here have a lot of value to us, and we affix a value to things by how much it is worth, how much we can sell it for, or how much we can get out of it, or how usable it is, those kind of things. But, you know, I think about when God says that something is of great price, and when He inspires His Word and He says, "This is of great price," it seems to me like we ought to really, really take heed to that. And so I think tonight, God help us to hear Your voice tonight and understand just a little bit better what does it mean when He says that the hidden man of the heart, and I'm talking to men and women, to brothers and sisters. You know, this part of the chapter, part of it is there to the women. But a meek and a quiet spirit is something that the Lord wants all of us to have. And I want to look a little bit tonight at why I believe that God sees some of these things so valuable. He says here, which is in the sight of God of great price. In Matthew 13 and 44, we find a little bit here where a scripture says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." You know, when we see something that is that valuable, it says here, the kingdom of heaven is like a man finding a treasure. Now, it says hid in a field. But it could be anywhere. It could be a treasure that a man finds, maybe something that he realizes he goes to a sale, or he goes somewhere and he all of a sudden realizes this is of great value. And so maybe it's at a high price, but he realizes that the price that he pays for it, it's worth everything he's got, because he's thinking, my ship has finally come in, or, this is my retirement. And he sees there something that is of that kind of value. And I was thinking about these things here that I believe that the Lord sees such value in this that I want to look at it too. I believe it's something that when we look at this, that the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. Now, he's not talking about a personality. He's talking about a spirit. The thing that is within us, our reactions and who we are. He said that that is of great price in the sight of God when our inner man is meek and quiet. I want to look at the Greek on that word meek. It says here, humble, meek. The word meek means mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, given to forbearance under injuries. You know, that's not really something most of us are born with. Some of us are a little softer in personality, but that don't mean that we're meek inside. That just means that we're not quite as vocal as someone else. But really, to have the meekness inside is something that is given from God. Quiet says a prolonged form of a compound, probably of a derivative of the base. Well, anyway, properly keeping one's seat, sedentary. That is, by implication, still, undisturbed. peaceable, quiet. Quiet means, by definition, still being in a state of rest, free from alarm or disturbance, unmolested as a quiet life. I want us to think a little bit tonight about having the Spirit that we've talked, that we've read the definition of here. I know we've all heard these things before, but you know, I think this is like eating supper. We can't get enough of the things that are highly prized by God. We can hardly get enough of those things. We need them so much. They're of great price in the value, in God's value system. So I want to look at Moses in Numbers 12, and I don't think I'll be a long time tonight, but in Numbers 12, 1 to 3, it says, "Now Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." Maybe they were prejudiced. I don't know what their thing was. "And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath not he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth." I'm not going to read all the scriptures here that go with this, but Moses many times was murmured against. And it was hard for him because he was trying to do his best to help these people. And yet, we see here where they began to murmur against him because he married an Ethiopian woman and other things too. But I look at Moses' reaction here. It says, "Now Moses was meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." But there's another part of the story that I want to look a little bit at what the opposite of meekness is and how it reacts and how what a curse it is to us if we allow ourselves to act in that way. But when we're meek and when we allow God's way to be taken in our life, you know what He does? He fights our battles. I want to look on down. "The Lord heard it," it says. And on down in the 9th verse, it says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." You know, I believe that had Moses stepped up to the plate and batted that ball back to him, I don't believe God would have been able to do this. And I believe that's one of the reasons that the Lord says it's of great price to him. Because when we allow God to work in our life and when we trust him like we should, God works. You know, we serve the same God that Moses did. We serve the same God. He'll take care of us. He'll get us to heaven, just like he did Moses and those that have trusted him in the past. And we see here Moses could have very easily defended his position. He could have very easily batted right back. He could have been ugly to them. But you know, he would have right there tied God's hands. There's no way that God could have come on the scene and worked for them and shown himself. And the Lord made peace in this situation because Moses trusted in him. Because instead of a retaliatory spirit, Moses allowed those to trample on him. He allowed those to speak evil of him without retaliation. That's part of what meekness is. It's a humbleness. It's a place where mild of temper, soft, gentle. Now we're talking about in our spirit. We're not talking about in our personality. Some people are loud in their personality, but they don't have to be loud and ugly in their disposition. They don't have to be retaliatory. They don't have to take offense. The word meek here says not easily provoked or irritated. Yielding, given to forbearance, under injuries. You know what? When we take God's way like that, He will fight our battles. Do you know that He'll do things for us that we never thought of? I doubt that Moses ever thought of the Lord all of a sudden coming down in a cloud and Miriam becoming leprous. I can't think that Moses thought, well, God's going to strike you with leprosy. No, he just submitted himself unto God, and the Lord fought his battle for him. I want to look at another place in Numbers 14 and 1. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, you know why they were weeping? Because when the 12 spies came back from the land of Canaan, and they were supposed to spy out and see, is the land good? What's it like? What's the lay of the land? Who lives there? How fortified are the cities? And they came back, and two of them said, we are well able to go in. 10 of them brought back this report and told them that we saw the giants there and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You know, it seems to me like after all that God had done for them, after the times that the Lord had spoken with Moses and led them with a pillar and a cloud and all of those things, it seems like that they should have been able to take grasp some faith there. But they didn't. It seems like that would have been a real trial for Moses. Here they are. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the congregation, the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. It seems to me like that would have been a kind of a hard time for Moses. Seems like, it would have been easy to get out of sorts. And Moses did get a little bit out of sorts a time or two. And the Lord punished him gravely for that. Because what he did was he disobeyed God when he did that. When he allowed his inner man to become something besides meek, Moses got out of place. And God forbid him to go into the land of Canaan because of it. But as long as Moses allowed God to fight his battles, we see that the Lord worked for him. In verse 11, it says, now, the Lord was upset with these people. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than them, than they. You know, Moses had his chance right there to say yes. Get rid of these people and make of me something. But Moses wasn't that way. It says he was meek above all the men that were upon the earth. Moses only wanted the best for these people. And we see here that he pled with God for these people. And God was going to destroy them. God was upset with them. He was angry with them and going to destroy them. But Moses had not offense within himself. And he pled with God, Lord, please don't do that. And we see in 19 and 20, Moses' prayer, he says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. And 23 says, surely, but see, the Lord still punished them. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Moses saved their lives because of his forbearance under injury. You know, these people didn't only rebel against God. They were ugly to Moses. They said, let's make us a captain. We're going back. How many times did these people... they were even, I think at this time, going to stone those that did not want to turn back or did not want to not go into the land of Canaan. And so we see Moses here. That would have been a great trial of Moses' faith, but he stayed with it. And you know, the Lord worked for him. The Lord fought his battles. I want to encourage us tonight that we let God fight our battles, that we forbear under injuries, that we stay mild when attacked, that we keep the meekness and the gentleness of Christ upon our life. When we do that, we loosen God's hands to fight our battles. And when we don't, we tie His hands. These people were all saved because somebody kept their spirit clean before God. I want to look at a scripture, a reading that's really in reverse of this, and look at the difference, the contrast maybe. In 1 Samuel 25, starting at verse 1, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be to thine, both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now with the shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. And so David and his men had actually watched over this man's flock and been actually a guard to them and a help to them. And David was in need. He was asking this man to help supply them with some food, actually. And in verse 9, and when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. You know, when I read this writing, I just think about the difference in his spirit and that of Moses. It said here, his servant here, I believe, was the one speaking, and he testified against him, testified for him. He said, "This man is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." I want us to think tonight a little bit about ourselves. Lord, I want to be able to be spoken to. I want to have the kind of a spirit that we can converse, that when people speak to us, I want to read on here a little of what happened, not too much more, but dropping on down in 36, "And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died." There's a lot more in the story there. But you know, this man, his spirit and his response was such that his whole household was endangered. Because David, when they headed that way, they said there will not another a man be left of Nabal's household. Do you know we can trouble our household with our spirit? We can trouble our household to the point that the enemy of our soul will plan to destroy everything we have because of our spirit. I believe that's another reason why God has said it's of great price to have a meek and a quiet spirit within us. The Lord wants to give us something that He can fight for, something that He'll fight our battles. You know what happened here with Nabal? It says the Lord smote him about 10 days after that. When he heard the news, it said he became as a stone. You know, something happened to him when he realized what his actions had cost him. Do you know, had Nabal only been a meek man, had Nabal listened to the counsel of his helpers, his helper here, his servant is the one that testified what Nabal was like, I'm sure his servant would have helped him if he would have let him. I want to just encourage us tonight. I just felt like the Lord gave me a few little thoughts here, that we allow God to speak to us, and that we allow God to speak to us through our servants, through our helpers, through those closest to us, that we allow them to speak to us, that we have a meek and a quiet spirit. Because most of the time, I imagine in Nabal's case, they never even told him. They never told him the many things that Nabal needed to hear, because Nabal was such a man that they could not speak to him. And so he never even heard. They never told him. But you know what? If we have a meek and a quiet spirit, do you know, I imagine there's folks that would have liked to have said, "Nabal, you know what? There's people here that need help, and we will do well to help David out. David's worth helping. Everybody knows that God anointed him to be king." But what did Nabal say? Who knows? Who knows? There's people that run. There's servants that run away from their masters all the time. He just threw it down, threw it away so foolishly. That's what we do when we don't hear. When we don't hear, and we don't have the type of spirit to listen to one another. I just want to encourage us tonight. God, give me a spirit of meekness that I'll be able to realize the value. When we don't have that, we shut off the very help that could help us the most. Many times in our relationships, in our home, and I know I talk about that a lot, but many times, there are those closest to us that if we have a meek and a gentle spirit, they'll tell us if we want them to. They'll tell us what we need to know. God teach us how to have that kind of a spirit tonight. 2 Corinthians 10, You know, old Nabal never thought about what it was going to cost him. It cost him his life. It almost cost all the men in his household their lives too. But because his wife had a different spirit and she realized what was happening, they were saved. 2 Corinthians 10, starting at 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Listen to the words. I'm beseeching you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, by the spirit that Christ had of gentleness and of forbearance under injury, of what was the other? Mild of temper, not easily provoked, yielding, given to forbearance under injuries. I'm going to read this one more time. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Meekness is not after the flesh, and it's not a war after the flesh, but it's of great price in the sight of God. For the weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It says they're mighty through God because God works in those weapons, those things that He has equipped us with. To me, the greatest weapon we have, and all of us have to work on it, is humility. That's the greatest weapon that we have in any situation. The greatest weapon we have is humility. It makes us able to put the dart in the devil's heart. It makes us able to put the dart where he's trying to work many times when we allow God to work with us like that. But what happens when we become the opposite of that? What happens? Fences are built. Walls are built. Offenses are taken. God help us to have the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Before Paul said this scripture, he said, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. They're mighty. They're able. Why does God value this so much? Because it's one of His mighty weapons. It's one of the things that causes the enemy to lose his grip. It's one of the things that causes the enemy not to be able to hold on where he has a hold when there's meekness involved. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The strongholds of the enemy, casting those things down. I was thinking about the scripture in Galatians 2. I'm not going to turn to it, but 2 and 21 mentioned something about, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You know, we can frustrate the grace of God. The grace of God that wants to be mighty and wants to work in the situations, wants to work with our children, wants to work with our relationships. The grace of God wants to do that, and we can frustrate it by putting our hand in there, by batting back, or by returning evil for evil or word for word. In Galatians 5 and 14, it says here, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, we know that. We all know that scripture. We've heard it lots and lots of times. We've heard that scripture. That all the law is fulfilled in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But Paul goes on to say, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. In Proverbs 15 and 1, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, this This is the opposite of meekness. And it has the opposite effect of meekness. Biting and devouring. Giving grievous words. You know what it does? Exactly the opposite of a meek and a quiet spirit. It does exactly the opposite. It stirs up anger. And you know when people get angry, things begin to happen, don't they? There begins to be problems. Because when people get angry, they begin to do things that are irrational. Many times they're very sorry of later. The way to cut that anger down ahead of time is to give a soft answer. To give an answer of meekness. Does that mean that we never are strong about anything? This meekness has nothing to do with that. I would say Moses was one of the strongest men in the Bible. He had strength that few people have, and I know that was through God. But Moses was one of the strongest men in the Bible. He stood and withstood so many things. Here, all these, however many people, several million people maybe, counting women and children, in the desert there. Don't you know he had a lot on his hands? And yet it says he was meek above all the men upon the face of the earth. So there's no relationship to being weak. There's no relationship between weak and meek at all. Meekness is a condition of our heart. It's a condition of our response to others, allowing injury and not taking an aggravated assault about it. So God help us today. I want to read just a few more scriptures here. In Psalms 19, we've heard this lots of times too, but I love these scriptures. Psalms 19 and 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know, sometimes we're tempted to argue with the law of the Lord because it seems to us like, well, that ball needs batted back. or that needs my hands put on it big time. Well, you know what? It says here, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That means the ways of God. The testimonies, the commandments, the things God has left for us. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. I just want to encourage us tonight. There is great reward in keeping the ways of God. And in having His thoughts indwelling within our hearts. And opening ourselves to Him. Lord, teach me Your ways. Show me Your paths. Because they're so different than human. So many times, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our first take on something is not God's take. And many times, He has to begin to talk to us. But you know what? He can't do that if we don't have a meek and a quiet spirit. If we have a rebellious or an injury that we take upon us, God is unable to do what He wants to do in our situation with us. And so as we work with life, oh Lord, teach us. Teach us to have a heart that wants Your ways. Teach us how to have a heart that is mild, responses that are mild of temper, that are not caustic and ugly. It incites anger. It incites resentment. It incites rebellion. When the Bible tells fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, you know what happens? We light a fire that's hard to put out when we do that. Very difficult to put out when we, by our harsh words, incite that kind of resentment to us. We find that we have something on our hands, don't we? But when we take God's ways, He fights for us. And that's what we don't want to forget. The Lord said, this is in His sight. He inspired that word, of great price. It is of great price. You know, it enables us to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. When we're filled with our own thoughts, how can we even hear the voice of the Lord? When we're filled with anger, when we're filled with all the opposites of humility and meekness and a quiet spirit, how can we even hear the voice of God? Proverbs says a wise man will hear and will increase learning. To me, that's one scripture I've held on to for years since I got a hold of that scripture. I want to hear. Lord, I want to hear. I want to hear what You have to say. And I want to hear what You have to say through my wife. I want to hear what You have to say through my enemy. I want to hear those things. And we cannot hear unless we have a meek and a gentle and a quiet spirit. Paul said, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I beseech you to hear me. Hear, Paul says, what I have to say. And then he goes on to talk about the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. They're not fighting back. They're not suing that person. They're not getting down on somebody. They're not winning with our physical strength or whatever. It's winning by the weapons that God has given us. Do you know that when we hear, others will listen to us? That's just the way it really is. When we hear, when we humble ourselves and get our spirit quiet, speak to me. Speak to me your mind. Do you know, many, many times, when it's all said and done, then you can gently speak back. And things can be resolved that way. A meek and a quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price. It's a prized thing. It's part of the kingdom that somebody sells all that they have for. They sell their hurts and their angers. They sell those things that would make them rise up and fight. They sell those things and they buy this thing that's from God. It costs all that we have to have the precious jewels that the Lord has for our lives. But when we receive them, they're of great price. It brings the blessing of God, and God begins to be able to fight our battle in a way that He's never able to fight if our hand is upon it. Y'all pray for me that I can have a meek and a quiet spirit.